Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan. Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast. We are going all Canada this time.
Yes.
For this week's edition, as the Falcons get set to head north of the border to Toronto, play at the Rogers Center against the Buffalo Bills. Daniel Cox here to my left. He's the good-looking fellow there. Mediocre-looking fellow over here is Jay. And we've got a pretty good show here, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's Thanksgiving week.
Yep.
And the Falcons are leaving the country.
Yeah. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? Anything fun?
I'm staying around here.
Yeah.
My mom and dad are coming down. It's the first time they've been to Atlanta, and probably since last Thanksgiving. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Very cool.
What about you?
Very cool. I'm just hoping to top last year's Thanksgiving. Last year, I worked, obviously, because
yes.
we have practice and everything. So I worked, and then I really didn't have anywhere to go. So right around, like, 8 o'clock, you remember AJ. AJ
does
our game day feature. Game day with AJ. Well, he was our intern last year, and he didn't have any family either. So we texted each other around 8 o'clock. And we're like, "Hey, let's go have hamburgers."
Yeah.
So we went to a bar and we had hamburgers.
Nice.
That was our Thanksgiving.
All right. I've had Thanksgiving at Cracker Barrel a couple times.
Okay.
I bought a car on Thanksgiving.
Oh wow!
I think the day after Thanksgiving.
Something to be thankful for there. Huh?
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping to top that.
Yeah,
We're good.
I think just start a little earlier in the day, and I think you'll be okay.
Yes.
You'll manage to do that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's jump into the episode. I'm gonna teach you a couple of things here about Canada.
Okay.
Okay, that's the first order of business.
I know one thing about Canada.
Lay it on me.
They talk a little strange up there.
It's a little different, yeah.
You know,
there's an accent, just like there's
absolutely.
A southern accent.
Yeah, well... I got on the air with a station in Toronto earlier this week. Not really so much about it was a little bit about the Falcons Bills matchup, but more about hosting another game for Toronto and welcoming in another team to watch. But they call the Falcons the Falcons.
Falcons. Yep.
It's a little strange hearing that over and over again through
Sounds,
our conversation.
Sounds about right.
A boot,
yeah,
right.
Of course. Me, you know, I grew up
right.
no more than an hour and 15-minute drive from Canada. I'm from Rochester, New York. So you just take I-90 there, and you pick up 190 up towards Niagara Falls, and you cross the border. And there you are, right in Ontario. Beautiful Niagara Falls, Canada. And so I have a couple of things I wanted to share with you.
Absolutely.
And teach you a couple of things. But then, after that, we're going to get into a little bit of Thanksgiving, what do we want to call this? Hungry for leftovers,
What... It's going to be a discussion about leftovers.
Leftovers. It's going to be a discussion about leftovers.
Yeah,
so let's just
let it simmer
in their heads for a little bit. And then, of course, Most Valuable Falcon, we'll get to that at the end of the show. But first, let's school you about some Canadian things.
Sure.
So, I think it's important to know when you... I got something. Oh, you know what I got is I've been eating those... You gave me a bag of peanuts.
Yes, I did.
And I got shells in my teeth because I've been eating them. They're great.
Yeah.
They're a little stale, I'm going to tell you, though.
Oh, for
real? Yeah, I don't know how long they've been sitting around.
I did.
It's not stopping me, though.
That's good.
Eating them. They're,
well, we've been trading peanuts for quite a few years now. So.
Different legumes of sorts. That seems to be our tradition. I always give Daniel some pistachios for Christmas, and now he just shows up with a random bag of peanuts for me, which apparently are still in my teeth, which is just awesome for when you're on camera.
I don't see that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So anyways, I feel like it's important for you to know a little bit about kind of the area where I grew up in. I mean, I've been to Toronto many times.
Right.
When I was in college, I used to go over to Niagara Falls a lot. I'll give you a
good
bonus.
Party scene in Niagara Falls.
Yes, I'll give you a bonus fact about Canada.
Okay.
The drinking age in Ontario is 19.
That so explains so much.
We used to go up, you know, you're in Canada. Hey, great. Anything goes. So
right.
That, I've been there a lot, and I feel like I should teach you and maybe the fans
absolutely
a little bit more about where we're going.
This is an educational show.
Absolutely. I mean, yes.
The entire premise of this show is
education.
Purely education.
Purely education. All right, so let's start out with number one here. Okay. You know, we're celebrating Thanksgiving today, mm-hmm. but Canadians also have a Thanksgiving, but it is not today.
Okay.
It was in October. They celebrate their Thanksgiving in October, and it is an optional holiday.
Okay.
I mean, any holiday is really optional.
True,
you can
true.
Either choose to recognize it or not, but there are a couple of provinces, as you know, that Canada is divided up into provinces.
Right.
There are a couple of provinces that feel pretty strongly about not celebrating Thanksgiving, the Canadian version of Thanksgiving in October. That is Prince Edward Island, Newfoundland and Labrador, New Brunswick and Nova Scotia. All of them do not celebrate Thanksgiving in Canada, but the other provinces are very open to it.
Does this holiday have a name?
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanksgiving is Canadian Thanksgiving.
This leads to much bigger questions in my head about the founding of Canada, but...
I have some facts about the founding of Canada.
Excellent.
Later on, all right. But the feast for Canadian Thanksgiving very very similar to American Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So that they got that too. Speaking of food, let's get into the unofficial dish of Canada.
Okay.
Which is a little something called poutine. Have you ever heard of poutine?
I've never
before?
Heard that.
Oh, poutine is wonderful. Okay, so poutine is a French word. Okay.
Yeah.
For big mess. It's like a slang word.
Okay.
So poutine, big mess. Kind of like this show. This show would be poutine, right?
I was thinking of a couple things.
Yes. But the food version of poutine is French fries, some kind of light brown gravy. And I know you're not a gravy guy.
No, not really.
That's amazing to me. No gravy on your turkey?
I can do without.
Wow. I can't believe that. And then the white stuff in there, those are cheese curds. And if you've never had cheese curds, I see your look, but they're amazing.
You've had this dish?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
Really?
I mean, it's stick to your ribs kind of stuff. You know,
yeah.
I know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I know, you know, it's not a salad. It's not a salad.
Poutine.
Delicious.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So there.
I'm learning.
Okay.
We're learning.
A lot of things here. We're getting on to our number three fact here. A lot of things were invented in Canada.
Okay.
One thing in particular that we use on a pretty daily basis was invented in Canada during a vacation.
Okay.
Guy was visiting Canada. He invented something. Hmm. Okay. That was Alexander Graham Bell. Visiting his parents in Ontario.
Okay.
Got bored, invented the telephone.
Huh.
Right there in Canada.
That's interesting. Because, like so many things, you know, America will be considered the birthplace of the telephone, correct?
Sure, yeah.
That's kind of like Ohio, the state of Ohio, claiming to be the birthplace of aviation just because the Wright brothers were
right.
born there.
Right.
But it really happened. Planes flew
right
for the first time in the state of North Carolina.
Here's another one, though, and this might upset the Canadian viewers, is that they claim the sport of basketball.
Okay.
Basketball, they say, was invented. Well, it was. It was invented by a Canadian.
Right.
But it wasn't invented in Canada.
Yes. Sneaky. Countries are and states are sneaky with their
they like claiming
the claims.
Things. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things. So, but the telephone,
okay,
invented on vacation.
In
Ontario, yeah,
hmm.
Yeah.
How about that?
All right, hey, here's one. You go to the grocery store. You need some milk. You have the option of buying milk in a bag.
Oh, for real?
In Canada, yes.
Look at that,
milk in a bag.
So it's powdered milk.
No. It's milk. It's regular milk, like it comes out of the cow.
Wait.
But it's in a bag.
How do you pour it?
you just put a little.
Is that where the cups for you? So you have to transfer.
You put it in a pitcher. You see the plastic bag up there. You like snip the end of it.
Okay.
Pour you some milk.
That's a little unusual.
Now they do have bottles of milk.
Yeah.
There as well, but this is just a different option, and I'll tell you why. Sure. Milk bags, widely used in the UK and Canada, mm-hmm. Eastern Europe, during the Cold War.
Okay.
And so they declined in popularity, obviously, as plastic bottles became more popular. But because the UK still has milk, mm-hmm. and Canada, very similar to the UK, still have bags of milk.
Bags of milk.
Bags of milk.
Okay. So we've got poutine.
Poutine and bags of milk.
We're introducing new slang and
yeah.
forms of language here.
All right. Well, I'm going to get you the last fact here. I'm going to tell you how Canada got its name.
Okay.
All right. So French explorer Jacques Cartier, he came to the New World. He met some of the local natives who invited him to their Canada, which was their word for village.
Interesting.
He thought that that's what the place was called. Canada. And so we'll spell that out for you. Canata.
Mm-hmm.
So he just started calling it Canada.
Interesting.
That's how it got its name. Huh. Stuck.
How about that?
Yeah. How about that? Those are five things.
Those are things I did not know for sure, without a doubt. Before we walked in this room, I had no clue, no concept.
Well, now you are going to be really good at Canadian trivia.
Yeah. Maybe that's what you should do on your trip to Toronto.
Well, we come to think
go
of
play
it, we're
going
to do that.
Some trivia, and maybe you'll be the lone American that wins all the Canadian trivia.
We're going to do that. Matt Moore,
mm-hmm.
If you follow him on Twitter at Falcons M Moore, is doing the Great Canadian Giveaway.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
this is what he's termed it, and he's got a lot of prizes. We're getting up with one of our former interns, Kyle Scott,
yep.
who is lives in Toronto. Mm-hmm. He's a Canadian, came down here for a year, and worked with us. Great guy. He's going to show us around the sites and everything, but he's
very
also
cool.
going to do some Canadian trivia, and we're going to give some stuff away, so make sure you're following Matt Moore.
Excellent.
It's funny you should mention it.
Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds good.
So we got a lot of Canadian stuff going on.
It's Canadian week.
Yes, but let's talk hungry for leftovers.
Yeah.
Hungry for leftovers.
Yeah,
let's explain this.
Yeah, you eat, you prepare your traditional, here in America, I don't know what kind of customs they have for a Canadian Thanksgiving, but we prepare a traditional Thanksgiving meal of turkey and other sorts of items, sweet potato pie or casserole and all that stuff, and then it's a giant feast. And then over the course of a couple of days afterwards, you eat your leftovers, right? And sometimes the leftovers are better than the actual meal, right?
Sometimes.
You can put sandwiches together with turkey and everything. So that got me thinking, if you kind of think about, the Falcons certainly aren't going to the playoffs this season. It's not a lost season per se, but it kind of is. You can be kind of want to just go ahead and write it off. It's just one of those seasons that just happened, and let's just move on. But there are some games still left to play this
sure.
season, so I'm kind of thinking of those games as leftover games.
Yeah.
So who's going to clean up, in these final, four or five games of the season?
Yeah.
So what players, if you were to pick a player or two for this purpose, on the roster right now that's going to eat his leftovers – get it done,
yeah.
In this final stretch of the season,
yeah. All right, so
who's hungry for leftovers?
Who's hungry for leftovers? So who do we think is going to shine in these next five games?
Absolutely.
All right. Do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
Why don't you go first?
Well, I've got a really good one, and then I have another good one. I'm gonna save my really good one for the last one.
Okay.
So I have two, and you have two. Correct.
Correct.
All right. So I'm gonna go with Travion Robertson first.
Okay.
He was inactive for 7 of the first 8 games this season. Big
mm-hmm.
defensive tackle out
yeah.
of South Carolina.
Yep.
Second season with the team. 7th round pick last year. And then he's, all of a sudden, last 3 games, he's been active. And he's been active. He was inactive quite a bit last season as well. So, that coincides with hearing Coach Smith earlier this week discuss the likelihood that some of the younger players would have an opportunity to play maybe some more snaps, some more time. And I appreciated this, though. He stressed that, all playing time, as always is the case, will be earned. If the guys earn it, they're going to see the field. Travion Robertson's been seeing the field lately, so that tells me, and we've seen some of that increase in time with some of these young guys over the last couple of weeks. tells me that Travion Robertson's doing some good things, something right. And we've also seen, the run defense improve some. You know, statistically, maybe we're not quite seeing what we'd like to see. You know, and they've given up 100 yards, you know, in those games recently. But that run defense has improved some, and I feel like some of that has to do with him. And this is a guy that maybe you're not going to hear his name said a lot, but I feel like, you know, in these final games, I think he's going to get more and more time. And he's a big guy in the middle. And I think the run defense is going to continue to improve and kind of head off in a positive direction, so to speak, as we end this season with Robertson maybe getting some snaps in the middle.
You know, I really like your pick for a lot of reasons here. When we drafted Robertson, I didn't know a whole lot about him, right, and had to do, you know, as we so often have to do, is a little bit of catch-up research. And just in looking at him and his size and what he brings, as far as just an ability to take up space, I mean, he is a lot of what you want in a defensive tackle, it seems like. But just in getting to know him as a person, getting to know him as a player over the past couple of years, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, works so hard.
Yeah.
And you don't hear a lot about him. You don't see a lot of him. And, you know, and like you're saying, hopefully in the last couple of games, you're going to see more of him. But he works as hard as anybody. A lot of guys have told me, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast
last
before.
Week.
Yeah. Travion Robertson is the strongest man on the entire football team, bar none, is what everybody has told me. And so certainly a weight room warrior. But it'd be nice to see some of that translate to the field here in the last few games. I love this kid's upside.
And
I'm excited about seeing a little bit more of him.
Absolutely. And you know, every run defense needs a big anchor guy there in the middle, and that he could be that guy.
Sure. You want me to go now with one of mine?
Go for it.
All right, so I'm going to go with a guy who just kind of had another reintroduction a couple of weeks ago, and that's center Joe Hawley. And I'm going to go with Joe here because I feel like these next five games, as the past two games have been for him, are kind of a dress rehearsal for next year. It's really when you think about it, it's kind of like one of those training camp battles that we talk about so often, only during the season. Because I really feel like he's at the point now, and he's had two very solid games, where he's a very realistic possibility to be your starting center going forward. And, you know, he started 2 weeks ago. He started last week. By all indication, he's going to be starting this week. I think maybe this is a guy that you just feel comfortable with going forward at that center position. And here's a guy who had the benefit of working for years under Todd McClure. So picked up a lot of his stuff, and I think just now is really starting to bloom and take that next step that you've always wanted to see. He's very similar to Todd, too, in that they were both undersized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, McClure was undersized as a center.
Yeah.
But he got it done, and he was able to, you know, he had the smarts to get it done as far as line calls and things like that. But just tough. Let me tell you something about Joe Hawley. Watch him on Sunday, and watch how he attacks defenses and how he makes life miserable for the man he's blocking. Okay, because he will get under your skin.
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy where he's going to jaw at you. He's going to get that extra shove in there. You know, he's going to try to bait you into doing something that you probably shouldn't be doing. And I don't know. I just kind of like seeing that out of offensive lineman. So anyways, I look for him in the next five games to really kind of show that, hey, I want to cement this as my position going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's his for the taking. And you saw a little bit in, you know, these last two games, an earlier spark on offense, and still, you know, things happen in games that have changed the dynamics. But the Falcons have come out and played pretty well early in games lately, especially on offense. And I tweeted about this the other week, and it's such a minute observation in a game, but it's something I noticed that I hadn't really noticed recently in recent weeks. You know, as Joe Hawley would come up to the line of scrimmage, you know, and we often see the centers, they'll point around the field or whatever. I a handful of times, numerous times, I saw Matt and Joe pointing in the same direction, which seems so kind of goofy, but I mean that says to me they're somewhat on the same page. They're seeing the same things and they're pointing out these things, and that's a good sign.
Right. And you know, the center's responsibility as soon as he hears the play and turns around from the huddle is to identify the defense and how the line is going to block that defense. And you know, there were times during Peter Kahn's tenure at center this year where Matt had to be making those calls. So you've got a situation where you've got a center who's got a little bit more experience, a little bit more of a rapport with Matt, and I think it's natural that those two guys would be on the same page by now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and jump it right into my next guy.
Go right ahead.
It's cold and it's rainy around here.
It is.
Right now. There's some potential for snow.
There is.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are you ready for a white December?
I knew this was coming.
Oh, man. No, Roddy White.
Yeah.
Newsflash is one of the better December players in the NFL.
Yeah.
I went back since 2008, and that's 20 games, 142 catches, 1,600 yards, 13 touchdowns.
That's big.
That's December production. Those are games in December. That averages out to 7 catches, 80 yards, and, you know, just under a touchdown a game. So, you know, right around a touchdown a game. Mm-hmm. 13 of his 43 touchdowns, those were 13 touchdowns in December. That's 30% of his 43 touchdowns in those, you know, in those seasons dating back to 2008. So that's, I mean, and this is we're discussing Roddy White, a guy that has not, you know, gotten to eat much, so to speak, this season. You know, injuries have kept him out of the lineup, and then, you know, once he's gotten back, I think it was week 10 when he came back, he's, you know, just hasn't been as effective as we've, you know, the Roddy White we've known. But I think in December, I think we're going to see, you know, a healthy Roddy White who wants to end this season strong.
Sure. And you know what's a fact about Roddy White is he hates the cold.
Oh, really?
Hates it. He's a South Carolina boy. He played his college ball out in Alabama.
Yeah.
Hates the cold. Okay. So it's funny that he plays and performs so well when obviously the Falcons play inside at home, but there have been some cold games over the past
absolutely
couple of years.
One of his best games, 2009,
yeah,
against Buffalo on the road. Was it
no,
on the road? No, you're right. I apologize. Just rewind that. Forget I said that.
No.
But he had a great game in 2009 against the Bills. But
they didn't play the Bills in 2009, didn't they?
Yeah,
yes, they did. You're right, they did.
Yes.
They played that at home, though.
Yes.
So, yeah, you're going to have some cold weather here. It looks like, I mean, Green Bay in a week. I don't know what the situation is going to be at the Rogers Center. I'm pretty sure the dome's going to be closed.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a potential there for some cold weather here in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how he does. But he doesn't like cold weather.
No. Well, I don't blame him. I don't either. I can't blame him.
I mean, like I said,
walking down here today, it was just down to the barn to do this.
I'm from up there. And I know. That's the reason I'm here.
Okay.
One of the reasons.
Okay. I intend to stay here because, I don't really like the cold.
Ugh, it's brutal. All right. So my second guy is Sean Weatherspoon. And I think that, you know, Sean's had kind of a similar year as Roddy is in that they've both been injured and trying to come back. And I think it's got to be really hard as a player to try and forge some kind of productive comeback in the middle of the season when you've spent so many weeks, you know, on the sidelines. It's tough because you really spend a lot of training camp and the preseason getting yourself into game shape so that by week one, week two, you're fully conditioned and ready to go. And injuries just end up being a huge disruption in that process. And so, you know, we've seen Sean obviously be a productive member of the defense over the past 2 weeks since he's been back. But I really feel like the next five games are going to be a chance for him to, you know, barring any health setbacks, it's going to be a chance for him to get himself into game shape and really kind of show again why the Falcons drafted him where they did, and how he can be a true leader of this defense. Right now, I think it's his defense.
No, absolutely.
It is definitely his defense, and I think he needs over the next five games to take even more ownership of it and really show that I'm going to be your guy going forward. And so that's kind of what I look for from him. I think those are an important five games for him. I think for his confidence sake, because you get, you know, maybe five good performances out of him, and you know, you go into the offseason thinking, okay, well, wasn't a total loss of a season. Yeah. You got some good work in.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. You know, and that's Weatherspoon. I mean, I think that's a great pick. It's, you know, and I we'll see what happens in Toronto this week. But I just feel like the Falcons' defense is subtly improving these past couple of weeks. We've seen some things. Then we, you know, holding the Saints to 3 points in the second half last week was a big bonus, a big plus for them. I was really impressed by that. I was encouraged by that, and I think Weatherspoon, like I said, I think it's an outstanding, a smart pick. You know, moving forward down this stretch, because I do see that defense getting a little better each week, and I think Spoon will be a big part of that.
And I think he has been the past 2 weeks a big part of that. And Mike Nolan has even said that the emotional boost that you get from having him on the field. I mean, the other guys just feed off of him, and it's one thing to have him, you know, be a cheerleader on the sidelines, but it's a completely different thing to have him on the field and being that vocal leader that the Falcons need.
Absolutely.
So.
So those, right. those are hungry for leftovers.
All the leftovers are gone.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, you know, I'm a single guy. I sit at home and I don't cook myself a Thanksgiving meal. I usually go to somebody else. I explain that, you know, right. Last year I went to the bar for hamburgers. I miss leftovers.
Okay,
leftovers are great.
I think we can handle that.
Bring your boy a plate.
All right. I got you.
Get you a plate. All right. All right. Let's move over to most valuable Falcon. All right. So we've had it's been a little bit of a runaway train.
Yeah.
Named Paul Warlow.
I need to pick up some leftovers and get going here.
So. You do. So last week I had Paul Warlow. He had 9 tackles and a QB hit. You had William Moore, who had 5 tackles by default, simply by numbers.
Arithmetic,
and a coin flip. I win. So the record now stands at 6-3-2. So, boy, imagine how different things would be if you would have won those two ties.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking, like, how many games do I need to win?
Yeah. You got some catching up to do. This is a crucial week.
We're going to start it this week. The turnaround begins this week.
All right. Well, who's your turnaround player?
Desmond Trufant.
Okay.
True. He's gotten his hands on some passes recently. Caught an interception a couple weeks ago. That was his first. He's second in the league with passes defensed, which is a really great stat, I think, because that says he's around the ball. He's making plays on the ball. He is getting targeted a lot. I mean, I know Drew Brees continued to target Trufant, and I think that's he's kind of benefiting from all that attention from offenses, especially earlier in this season. He's benefiting from that now, and I think we're starting to see, you know, Trufant's game start to, you know, come together a little bit. And he's still going to have his moments. We saw opportunities last week where he was out of position, or at least what you would, you know, you kind of think he might have been out of position. He could have made a play. But we also saw him get his hands on a pass that he wasn't able to hang on to, but he got bumped just in traffic. But that would have been another interception. And I just feel like, you know, he's just coming together here. I think we're going to see a handful of interceptions, you know, down the stretch here. I think he's really starting to come into his own. I think he's comfortable out there. And I think this is a Bills team that, you know, they're going to want to run the ball. But obviously, you know, they've got some passing options. And I think Trufant might, you know, be able to take away one of those options, like Stevie Johnson, something like that. Like, he's coming back. And I know they're going to want to get that passing game involved. And they're probably going to target Trufant. Like, you know, like I said, he's been targeted a number of times. But I like what we're seeing from him. I like how he's coming around, and he hasn't, you know, beat himself up. We haven't lost him in games or anything like that yet mentally, or at least it doesn't appear to be that way. I like where he's at, and he's my guy this week.
I think a lot of people have maybe overlooked Desmond and the year that he is having. I really think, folks, he's having a great year.
Yeah.
By rookie standards and just by cornerback standards. Absolutely. In general, I think, you know, a lot of what happened in the preseason is that I think Robert Alford, the steam and the hype that kind of was surrounding him, maybe overshadowed Desmond a little bit. And probably got fans thinking, you know, first couple of weeks, you know, focusing on Alfred. But
yeah,
if you go back, Trufant's had a heck of a season, like a really, really good rookie season. So I think you should be real happy with what you've got there, because I think he's your future guy for sure. And I think Alfred is, too, in his own time. Make no mistake, but I really just wanted to say that Trufant's had a heck of a year.
No doubt. And that's one of the reasons I picked him, quite frankly, so we can just continue to talk about him. But yeah, he's my guy this week, and I just feel like he's kind of coming into his own a little bit here in this last couple of games here.
All right. Well, I am going to jump off of the Warlow train, and not for anything on him. He's continued to put together.
I wish you told me in advance.
I would have gladly stepped on that train.
I
know. but I'm going to go with Sean Weatherspoon, the linebacker I mentioned not too long ago. I really feel like, especially this game, with as much as Buffalo runs the ball, the opportunity is going to be there for tackles to be around the football. And I think Sean is that guy who is going to really want to make a statement against this rushing attack. Buffalo is the only team in the NFL with two running backs with 500 yards on the ground. And I think you've got two speedy options there in C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson. I really think that Spoon could be that leader who's going to get around the ball, who's going to make those hits, and really try to slow down that rushing attack. It's not going to be easy to do, but I feel like every week he's getting a little bit healthier, a little bit more in shape, and we're going to see him, I think, maybe start to take some tackles away from Warlow. I expect both of these guys at the end of the game to be at the top of the list in tackles. I think maybe Sean gets just one more than Warlow this week. So, anyways, I just felt like I'd switch things up a little bit and go with Sean.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
I know you don't mind.
I would have given you some grief, I think, if, what was it, three? Was it been like four
two,
weeks?
No, it was two Come weeks. On, it's it been was like not five four weeks. In a weeks row now. It was 2 weeks. 2 weeks in a row, I picked him. That's it. So that's my most valuable fact for this
good
week.
Good choice. Good options.
All right. Well, let's go to Canada. All right. Poutine. We're going to have some poutine and some milk in a bag.
Here we come.
All right, Falcons fans, thanks for joining us on the podcast, the Falcon Cast podcast. Easy for me to say.
You could take this to Canada with you.
Take it to Canada.
Just remind them.
I don't know if he has a passport.
Well.
All right. Good night, Canada.